Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Beast of Limerick House by M.L. Bullock, narrated by Emily Lawrence and Cody Roberts. Chapter 1. Eva Myers.
I can't believe it's here, Cal. Look at it. The Limerick House, like you promised me all those years ago. I wiped the moisture from my eye as I clutched my sweetheart's burly hand. Call me spoiled. Call me a gold digger. Call me whatever you want. The house of my dreams was mine, and it was here in Mobile County, right slap dab in the middle of the woods. We would make this our forever home, Cal and me. Here was a place where we could make things right. We'd hurt a lot of people along the way, all in the name of love. But that was in the past. Yes, all in the past. Cal's wife passed away 3 years ago. My husband Riley left me 5 years ago. He'd been threatening to do so for 20 years. I don't know why I was so surprised when he finally did it. That had been a mistake. I should never have walked down the aisle with him. I never really loved Riley. Not like a wife should, even though he was young, handsome, and wealthy. Thankfully, we'd never had children, but I know that Riley wanted a big family. I had taken great pains to prevent that from happening. I had taken so much birth control that once I got off the medication, the damage had been done. I would never be able to have children. Not to mention I was too old at this point. Not that Cal wanted children. I'd been in love with Cal since the first day I met him. That very first day. My girlfriend Maddie couldn't believe it when I shared my feelings about Cal all those years ago. Eva, he's twice your age and not nearly as handsome as Riley. Are you joking with me? Is it the money? Please, girl, you couldn't pay me to sleep with that old man. 40 isn't old, I popped back. But I didn't bother arguing with her. Teach me to keep my thoughts to myself. That was so long ago. We'd been the scandal of Mobile County, but that didn't stop us. Our love burned hot and bright for well over 20 years. I'd been a cocktail waitress at the Galveston Club, Mobile's hottest country nightclub, and Cal was the owner. The name was hilarious, as Galveston was about 1,000 miles away. But it was a country club, and I loved it. And I loved him. I didn't just fall into bed with him, though. I was smitten with him, but I wouldn't be satisfied being another notch on his big belt. No, this old gal made him work for it.
Anything for you, honeybud. If this makes you happy, I'm happy too.
You're so good to me, Cal. I showered his cheeks with sincere kisses as we stood before the newly placed home. It was missing all the windows and doors, not to mention all the interior furnishings and paint and woodwork. Lots of repairs were needed. But this was no hill for a climber, as my daddy used to say. I bet he would be proud if he saw me standing in front of the Limerick House. Maybe. It was hard to gauge him when he was alive, and impossible now that he's gone. I sure missed him.
As long as you're happy, Eva, that's all that matters to me.
I want to spend the night here, Cal. I can't leave it here with no doors, no windows. What if someone breaks in? I peered up at him hopefully. Although his dark Elvis Presley-styled hair had faded white and his skin was covered with liver spots, he was still the legendary Cal Ruger to me. We weren't as wealthy or as popular as we used to be with the Mobile nightclub circle. But Cal was mine, just like the Limerick House. I guess it's true. I had a soft spot for old things.
Eva Marie, I can't sleep on the floor. You know that. I'd need a tow truck to get back up. I know you're excited, darling, but the house is here and no one is going to steal it. You'll be spending a lot of time here supervising the remodel. Let's head home, honey pot.
Cal had that twinkle in his eye. I knew that twinkle well. But this house, I could hardly believe it was finally here. They had to move it in pieces, and there had been no real guarantee that it would arrive in one piece. But the glorious old house made it. Oh, Cal, please. I brought the air mattress, sheets, pillows, and a bottle of champagne for us. Everything we need to christen the house. I poked out my bottom lip. Granted, my overplump lips didn't hold sway over him as they once did, but I usually got my way. Usually. Like you said, it'll be chock full of workmen after this weekend. This might be our only chance to be alone here for quite a while. Don't you want to be alone with me? This might be our last chance. Even as I said those callous words, I regretted using that turn of phrase. This might be our last chance. Cal had a superstitious streak a mile wide. We never said goodbye, only see you later. He never looked back when we had to part ways because he was afraid that doing so would jinx us. The look on his face now worried me. I flashed a sweet smile immediately. Never mind, sweetheart. You're probably right. We'd both be a-snappin' and crackin' in the morning. Let's go home. I'll drive up in the morning. I need to measure the windows for curtains. It can wait. I smiled again, and his uneasiness faded. I could see it vanish from his face. I knew his thoughts like he knew mine. We will just have to christen it when everything is done. He hugged me, and together we walked back to his Cadillac. My heart was aching, though. I hadn't told Cal the complete truth about my obsession with this house. I dreamed about it all my life. I'd only been inside it once when I was a teenager. I was with two friends, but they didn't love the house like I did. Those two girls, I'd forgotten their names now, only wanted to party. That meant smoke cigarettes and drink wine coolers. While they giggled and smoked, I wandered the place. The floors upstairs were spongy. It was certainly dangerous, but I took the risk. It was like coming home. Like I'd been here before. That realization struck me every time I entered another room. Yes, I'd been here before. Although there wasn't much furniture left, as the place had been abandoned for decades, I knew what went where. It was almost as if I could see what should be there. The wrought iron bed with the large canopy went in the corner. The oval portraits belonged over the bed. The curtains were cornflower blue. The rug on the floor. Eva, come have a smoke! Liza's voice broke my trance. Liza, that had been her name. But I didn't want to smoke. I was home and never wanted to leave, but something I couldn't quite remember threatened to break my heart. In fact, my eyes filled with tears, almost remembering something terribly sad. I'd been happy here once. How was this possible? Maybe it was all a dream. Yes, that had to be it. I must have dreamed about this place. But then, if it was a dream, how would I know that the rooms across the hall were the children's rooms? Come on, Eva, I have a shift at the diner. I can't stay long. Come back downstairs with us. It's not safe to walk around this place alone. But, no buts. In fact, I think we better go. Mary saw a rat down here, and she's freaking out. Let's get out of here. And that had been that. I'd always meant to go back by myself, but it never happened. I'd driven past it many times, my eyes searching for signs of life. What a ridiculous hope, when I knew for a fact nobody lived there. Nobody had lived there for a very long time. But one day, I would.
Did you hear me, Honeypot?
Cal grinned down at me, and I blinked in confusion. I'd been so lost in the memory, I nearly forgot where I was and who I was with. No, I hadn't heard a word he'd said, but I agreed with him. Yes, Cal, whatever you say.
Very good. Let's go home.
We climbed back into the Cadillac convertible, and as we drove off, I broke Cal's rule. I looked back. I couldn't help myself. For a moment, I thought I saw a boy in the downstairs window, but it must have been a trick of the light. And there was no window, just gaping holes where the window should be. There's no telling what I saw, and I had a good imagination. Cal always reminded me of that. I turned back to my sweetheart and squeezed his hand. I couldn't believe that this place was mine, and Cal had made my lifelong dream come true. I was the lady of the Limerick House. One day, I would serve tea and cupcakes in the parlor. It would be a place where we could hopefully bring our friends and limited family together for holidays and special events. The possibilities were endless. I could even use the place as a bed and breakfast after Cal passed. I'd run the idea past him once before, but he shot me down. He didn't want strangers traipsing about in his house. That was clear by the tone of his voice, and he never raised his voice to his honeypot. Cal went through the drive-thru on the way home, and we picked up a box of chicken, as was his tradition on Friday evenings. I could see where this was going. We would be eating early and going to bed at 7. The older he got, the earlier we went to bed. Usually, I waited for him to fall asleep and then went to the living room to watch television. I had an idea. Once Cal ate his supper, snuggled up with me, and took his sleeping pill, I could do just about anything. He'd never know, and he didn't mind. If I was happy and didn't cheat on him, that was all that mattered. All these years, I never cheated on Cal, never. Not that there wasn't plenty of opportunity to. Now, Cal had been a bit of a flirt back in the day. I never caught him cheating on me, but he did have a wife. So, in a way, that was kind of cheating. But then again, she had her own set of boy toys to keep her amused. Or so Cal said. I never knew the truth, and quite frankly, didn't care to know more than I already did. As predicted, we settled down in front of the television with our chicken. Cal enjoyed watching nature programs. I flipped through magazines and listened to the programs as he took phone calls. People still called him for gigs, and each time, he'd have to tell them he wasn't running the Galveston anymore. It always left him feeling a little sad. I could tell by his expression. I changed the subject. All was well again. Same thing tonight. Only he didn't shake off his sadness quite so easily. Cal's tired expression worried me, but the house called to me. Yes, I had to go back, needed to go back. It was only a 20-minute drive. I'd go and make sure everything was in order. Take my flashlight and explore it a bit. I wouldn't stay too long. No, it really wasn't like me to leave Cal in the middle of the night. I'd never done it before, but this was different. Limerick House was mine. I'd taken dozens of pictures on my phone before and after the transport of the building, but I still couldn't believe it was here. I smiled along with Cal's predictable jokes and tidied up the food trays. I put everything away as he got his shower. I put on some comfortable pajamas, but didn't take off my makeup. I wasn't going to stop anywhere, but there was no way I was going out in public without wearing my makeup. I snuggled with Cal as he quickly fell asleep while the bedroom television played Law and Order, his favorite show. I guess he took his sleeping pill already. Funny, I thought he wanted to fool around. That's what happens when you get older. Your mind says yes, but your body says no. Maybe this was a silly idea. I should just wait. Going to the house at 9 o'clock at night seemed very silly indeed. It was a wooded area, and there would certainly be wild animals out there. I'd chosen that lot for just that reason. I didn't want to put the house in a busy neighborhood. It deserved to be in a quiet place, a place where nothing could harm it. "Night, Cal," I whispered as I kissed his cheek. I slid on my tennis shoes, pulled my bleached blonde hair up in a ponytail, and headed out. I wouldn't take Cal's car. It was his baby. And not only that, it was also loud. I took the Kia instead. It was quiet and had great gas mileage. I eased down the driveway. How weird, sneaking out of the house. It was like being a teenager again. I couldn't explain the connection I had with the house. Couldn't explain it at all, but I had to make sure everything was in order. I don't know what I imagined would happen, but I worried about my new place. Breezing down the highway, I turned off the radio. I wanted to be alone with my thoughts, alone with my memories of the Limerick house. Just three girls hanging out in the rambling old place. But unlike my friends, I had a vision for it, a heart to see the place restored. I would make it happen. I think I even mentioned that to them, but naturally they laughed. Girls like us, poor girls from the wrong side of the tracks, didn't have dreams like this. Or if they did, they didn't come true. I needed to be practical, my friends reminded me. I didn't listen. Even when I left Monroe County, I remembered the Limerick house. I remembered and dreamed. And then, not long after, I met Cal. He made all my dreams come true. I could live with the shame of being labeled a homewrecker, a trollop. I was none of those things. Cal's marriage was one of convenience. He and his wife had an understanding. But my marriage? In that regard, I was a homewrecker. I wrecked my own home. Riley never stood a chance. I should have walked away a long time ago. But I'd been so mad at Cal. He didn't even try to stop me from marrying. In fact, he encouraged me, saying it would look better if I did. Why was I thinking about this and not the Limerick house? I made it in no time. I turned off the two-lane highway onto the hidden road. It was narrow, especially in Cal's old Cadillac. My Kia fit better, but there was still the possibility of getting stuck in a pothole. Luckily, there hadn't been much rain recently. And there were no lights at all, not even at the house. I would soon rectify that situation. I had a large budget for the house. Cal was more generous than I'd imagined. But would it be enough? It would have to be. I'd make it work. I sat in the car with the lights on. They illuminated the empty house. Oh, I didn't like the way this looked. I didn't like it at all. Limerick House appeared like an empty husk, not an inviting bed and breakfast or a home. It seemed so different at night. I turned off the lights and sat clutching my keys in my hand. I should go back. I should go home, I said to nobody. Well, I was here. I may as well go inside. I dug in the glove box and found the flashlight. My hand paused on the handgun, but I decided against it. Why would I need a gun? I shook my head at the thought and got out of the car. I swung the light back and forth to make sure there were no other cars here, or animals. Nope, nothing to see, nobody else. As I walked up the steps, I experienced a mixture of joy and fear, just like the first time I visited the house. But above all that was the sense of belonging. Stepping over the threshold, I took on a heavy feeling, not a fearful feeling, but a heaviness for sure, like I was picking up where I left off, picking up on another life, another me. I should leave, I thought, as I emerged into the front room. My feet were cramped. Looking down, I saw that I was no longer in my pajamas and tennis shoes. I wore black leather boots and a dark blue dress that nearly touched the floor and was buttoned at the neck. Strange as the garb appeared, it felt natural. It was comfortable. I heard the laughter of children. My children. My boys. How strange. I never had children. I stepped farther into the room and took in my surroundings. It was perfect. I remembered the blue wallpaper with the tiny white daisies. The round rag rug under my feet was so comfortable. The calming chimes of the grandfather clock rang off the wall nearest me. The shiny wooden staircase invited me to stay with its joyful sounds. More than anything, I wanted to run up the steps and see with my own eyes, see for myself. But I never had children.
Never? A man asked me. What are you talking about, Annabelle? Lost in your daydreams again?
The hair on the back of my neck crept up. Not my bleached blonde hair, but an intricately braided bun. I touched it, shocked but delighted. It was brown. I knew without even looking in the mirror. Yes, there should be a mirror. Right there, next to the grandfather clock. Ah, there it was. But my eyes did not go to me. They were on him. I saw him standing a few feet behind me. Tall, jacketless, but wearing a crisp, clean white shirt. Dark hair, darker than mine. His eyes were dark, too. I knew him. Yes, I knew him well. I'd known him before. Clive. Husband?
Annabelle, you're home,
he said without emotion. There should be some sort of emotion, right? This didn't feel right. This wasn't right at all. I wanted nothing more than to run the other way, run out of the house. But how would I get past him? Our eyes met in the mirror, and he smiled, a cold, menacing smile.
Have you come back to face the music, darling?
Let me go, Clive.
You've been gone, Annabelle, but you've come back. I always knew you would. Look at me, Annabelle. Look at what you've done to me.
I couldn't take my eyes off him. I knew what he wanted. He wanted me to turn around and look, turn around and see the terribleness of him. I didn't want to do that. No matter what, I didn't want to do that. But I had to. I steeled my courage and slowly, inch by inch, turned to face the man I once loved, Clive Limerick. I thought I was prepared for anything, even prepared to run for my life, but I was not prepared to see this. This was no love from my past standing before me, but a strange creature, a terrifying being. Tall, wearing a hat and a neat black suit. I had never seen someone so tall in my life. He had no face, only two dark portals for eyes. I screamed until I could scream no more. Chapter 2. Sierra McBride. Night 1. Hey guys, this is it. What do you think? Pretty impressive, huh? I grinned at the crew. They didn't appear to share my excitement. I could read every one of them, except the new guy, Butch. Joshua was already second-guessing his equipment. Macy frowned up at the top-floor windows. I didn't read into that. She frowned when she was observing the invisible. Jericho got down to work and didn't pay much attention to anything except getting the van unloaded. Butch stood beside me and Joshua. He slid his mirrored sunglasses off the top of his head and tucked one end into his black t-shirt. He had one heck of a game face. I couldn't read him yet. Still, his resume was quite impressive. Iraqi veteran, but he was young. I mean, older than us, but younger than any veteran I'd met prior. And his interest in the paranormal seemed genuine.
I've seen things I can't explain. Both at home and overseas. I think a bit of time off, working with you guys, will help me find answers.
I chose not to push him at our interview, but I accepted that he didn't want to talk about it. That like the rest of us, he had his own reasons for wanting to be a part of Gulf Coast Paranormal. I sent Midas his details, but I don't think he even opened the file.
It's up to you, little sister. GCP is your baby now.
I hated hearing that. A small part of me, okay, a big part of me, wanted Midas and Cassidy to come home. But I wasn't the boss of him, as he reminded me every now and then. Hey, there's Cal, the owner. I waved a greeting, but as soon as I climbed up the stairs, I wanted to hug him. He appeared a broken old man, broken by the events that occurred in this house just last week. His girlfriend was still in the hospital, not speaking, not eating, in some sort of shock. Poor Cal could only get a few words out of her, but everything he heard was about this house, the house he'd bought Eva. And the ghost she saw there, a no-face character. I'd already pulled the history for the Limerick House. Cal was open to all possibilities and ready to get to the bottom of it. These facts, coupled with Cassidy's email, catapulted this case to the top of the list. The record of hauntings at this place was remarkable. Even the original family reported weird goings-on.
I'm so glad you're here. Be careful, little lady. This place needs some tender love and care. The floors are pretty solid now that we've had them taken care of. But that doesn't mean there may not be a soft spot here and there and upstairs.
Thanks, Cal. I must tell you, my mother was a big fan of the Galveston Club. She used to go every weekend before she and my father married. He beamed appreciatively.
That's nice of you to say. It was hard to let it go, but I think my club-owning days are over. That's why we bought this place. Eva wanted to retire here. This is her dream house. I had moved here from Monroe County. But I guess you know that already. Come on inside. Pay no attention to this old man. I like to repeat myself because I'm never sure anyone is listening. Except my Eva. She's my everything. I don't know what I'd do without her. Thanks for coming.
It's our pleasure. Meet my team, I said, as the investigators began walking up the steps to enter the house. This is my husband, Joshua. He's our tech guru. This is Jericho, another tech magician and all-around good guy. This is Macy. She's a communication expert. Macy grinned at my description. And this is Butch.
Let me guess. He's the bouncer.
Cal joked around as the well-toned soldier carried a large black case of camera equipment up the steps. We don't have a nickname for him yet, but he did serve as an army specialist for 8 years. I guess that would make him overqualified for the bouncer position. Butch grinned.
Yeah, but I could kill a troublemaker 8 ways in under 5 seconds.
He kept walking, leaving Cal and me to awkwardly laugh at his back as he disappeared into the house. Not much of a humorist. Want to come inside and see what we're going to do?
No, I'd rather leave it to the experts. You said 3 days, right? Do you think that's enough time? If you need more time, it's fine. My Eva, it might take her some time to get better.
I'll be in touch, Cal. And thanks for trusting us with the house. We will do our best to get answers as soon as possible.
My contractor put the doors up, so you should be safe. Here are the keys. There's really nobody out here. I own all 50 acres. If you see anyone, you can tell them for me to get off my property. If you have any problems, you call me, okay?
Yes, sir, I sure will. Don't worry, Cal. We will be careful. We won't take any risks. The older man cast a wary eye toward the open door, but he didn't go inside. Instead, he shuffled down the steps and practically tossed himself into his oversized Cadillac. Cal was a blast from the past in many ways, from his oversized belt buckle to his hairstyle down to the car he drove. As he drove off, I went inside to join my team. Isn't this place great? 2 stories, 12 rooms. This is where Eva saw the no-face thing. Her description matches Cassidy's sketch. Look, I should have had this ready at the meeting. Sorry. Macy was the first to accept the printed artwork.
Jeesh, I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. Are those children behind him?
Not sure, but it could be. If I know Cassidy, she's just getting started. Maybe she'll send us more, but the important thing is to get our investigation started before dark. We've got about an hour. Joshua nodded in agreement.
We're in the middle of nowhere. I'm not sure that we're going to get great Wi-Fi out here, but we'll try. If nothing else...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?